So we're in the season and the counting of the Omer, and we're going to do a message where we're talking about some seed and stuff. I moved it down a little bit. We were getting a little hot, it seemed like. And we're going to talk about that and the harvest, what it's about, and we're going to use some familiar text. We're going to go through Matthew 13. We're basically going to read the entire chapter because it's the sowing chapter. It talks about the parable of the sower, the wheat and the tares, and some other things. Do you have the hillside one? You can go ahead and put that up and leave that one up for a while. All right, so I'm going to start in 13 and verse 1 of Matthew. On the same day, Yeshua went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed, and some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in the field, but then while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And so the servants of the owner of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has come and done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us to go and gather them up? And he said, No, lest while you gather the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed into a field, which indeed is the least of all of the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs. It is the greater of the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. And all these things Yeshua spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without parables he did not speak to them. that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world. Then Yeshua sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of this kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels and gather out the kingdom of all the things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. And I will cast them into the burning fire, and there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of the teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth in the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking a beautiful pearl. And when he has found that one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. And when he cast into the sea and gathered some from every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. And so it will be at the end of the age when the angels come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. And there will be wailing and gnashing of the teeth. And Yeshua said to them, Have you understood all of these things? And they said to him, Yes, Lord. And then he said to them, Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings forth out his treasure, things new and old. The reason I felt like we needed to read through that because of this season, because we're preparing for the harvest. That's what Pentecost is all about. It's not an accident that God established the beginning of the year, the beginning of the months to count for the year, and then the cycle of Passover, the first fruits of the harvest, and then in preparation for the harvest. And he shows us what the harvest is all about because of the 3,000 that got saved on Pentecost, on Shavuot, when that day had fully come. He's reminding us what it's about. So I asked him to put up this picture to show what terrace farming looks like. A lot of this is done in Israel. And this is the context of why Yeshua was giving that parable. And we're going to go through some of this and then talk about it. The wayside. It says he didn't understand. And then it says the devil came and snatched out. And therefore, they didn't get it. They lost it. This word here, it says to set or join together into mine. So for whatever it was, how many times have you heard something? And I don't like the idea, well, it wasn't time yet. It was the Lord's timing. I don't like some of those things because Yeshua totally put this back on them. He said they didn't hear. They closed their ears. They closed their eyes. He said, lest if they would have heard and seen, then he could have healed them and saved them. So why didn't they get it? Why didn't they understand what was going on? That path is the path that's usually right along the edge where they're walking, where the stones are and all of that, and they're casting. That part's usually worn out because it's being trampled on. It's being compacted. The seed's not going to get in. I tend to look at these as a way that how many preconceptions, how many ideas that we think we already have about the Word of God, our own idea about God, and then when God's trying to get something, preacher's trying to teach something, somebody's trying to show you something, somebody comes across your path, you're like, it doesn't fit my rut. I can't receive that because it doesn't fit my rut. I walk this path right here. Can't hear that one. And we think it's, well, the devil took it. No, he took it because you didn't allow it to get in. The stony places. He said, this is when tribulation or persecution comes because they have no root. So it was caught up in the rocks. Maybe some that fell out of the bag. They just fell down along the inside of the rocks and they couldn't get into the good ground and get any deep roots. Now, he just said there that when a time of persecution comes. And I don't want us to have in the context here that it's just like when you're being tortured for your faith or you're being beaten for your faith or anything like that. That's part of it. But maybe the persecution is when you try to walk it out. And then maybe somebody mocks for what you believe. You can call that persecution. I don't really call that persecution. Maybe it's the persecution in your own mind because you can't look. I'll go because you don't want to walk that out. You're like, ooh, I love the way that sounds, but that's hard. You mean I have to discipline myself? You mean I can't do this and that anymore, and I can't say this and that anymore? I can't talk that way anymore. I can't believe that way anymore. I can't act that way anymore. That's different than being persecuted. Same concept. Because either way, it's like, ooh, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to change. I think I probably told this story. I failed at it. Maybe I'll get back to it. But I had a friend of mine when the girls were young. Matter of fact, I don't even know if Jordan was even born yet. And I had this really good friend of mine and his wife. They lived not too far away from us on base. He and I used to hang together a lot. And his wife was a liberal early on. And everything was always positive, and you were never going to discipline the children and all of this. And it was just all I could do to be, you know, to just kind of watch how all this was transpiring. And I remember saying something about it, and the Spirit of God just got all over me. And maybe go to apologize to my friend for talking about the way he's running his house and stuff like that. And so I was like, this would have been a stony place. So I'm like, this is not good. I don't want to go do this. And so I go, and I said, I just want you to know that he never heard it. This is a conversation between me and the wife. But the Spirit of God was trying to get me to learn a lesson. So I went and apologized, and we talked about it all and all of that. And I remember telling this story to my pastor, and the only thing he said was, be very careful. I'm not saying you're wrong, but be very careful. He said, that is a very hard road to walk. And there's blessing in it, but it is a very hard road to walk. If you want to be that disciplined in your faith, just realize it's going to be a hard walk. I backed off that road, not because he said that. I don't know, because I didn't like those comfortable things that I have to keep going and apologizing to people for. I got a handle on some of it, most of it. But that's a rocky place. What about the thorns? He said, the cares and riches of this world. This is great. This is awesome. I'm going to be saved. I get to go to heaven. God is so good to me. He loves me. And nothing is ever going to go wrong. And then all of a sudden, living life gets caught back up with us. What we like to do is get our get out of hell free card stamped. And then all of a sudden it turns into, well, you know, I got bowling league on Tuesday. And then I've got my game night on Wednesday, and then I got my golf game on Sunday, and little Susie and little Johnny got ball games on Saturday, and then I got my TV shows in the midst of all of this. I just don't have time for all of this reading of the Word of God and spending time with the brothers in the faith, and now all of a sudden all of the thorns and everything grows up and consumes your time. And we think about the cares and riches of this world, this just kind of gives the idea that you're just pursuing wealth. No, anything that's choking out your fellowship with God, communion with God and your family and your congregation are thorns. Thorns grow well in good soil. So this doesn't mean you're not good soil. It just means you haven't been willing to prune all those extra things out there consuming your time. I joke with the wife all the time. I get this thing that pops up on my phone every Sunday morning at 9:40. your screen time has gone up 10% this week or gone down. Well, what is it? I haven't gone any further to look at exactly which screens are being opened up the most. It consumes a lot of our time. They're thorns. Good ground. Good ground does not mean you're good. Good ground means you're obedient. Good ground means you're willing to be worked, you're willing to be tilled, you're willing to be busted up, you're willing to have the thorns torn out, you're willing to have the rocks torn out. And then you're ready to receive the seed. But you got to be willing to let him go in and run that tiller, which is not a lot of fun, by the way. Especially in our mountain where there's all kinds of rocks. Because when the tires run at a different speed than the tiller. And when that thing hits a rock, it about pulls you halfway across the yard. So it takes a little bit to bust those things up. So we want to be the good ground. We want to get to that place where we allow the Spirit of God to come in there and bust all those things up. Whether they be, too many times we want to put stuff like this in the category of a big sin. And it's not that. It's just simple things. And yes, you know, gossiping, thinking evil thoughts about people, whatever the case is sin. But it's not the pureness of heart and having love towards people. And that's those things he wants to get into. And that's what I've learned when we were trying to prepare this big area that we have for the garden area now. It was easy with the tractor that I got from Billy to go in there and rip out them boulders that were this big around. But then for the last 3 years since we prepared that ground, rocks keep tilling up out of that thing like taters. And so every time we turn it up, there's more rocks just seem to be popping out. It's those things that are the things that were at this place in our walk where God's going, you kind of missed that one, and it didn't show until it got tilled up. Or when you are planting trees and things need to be pruned. It's not comfortable. We always forget about that, what they call the sanctification process. My mind has been on this idea, and I just cannot wait until the by and by. But it doesn't mean we stop. I'm hoping that everything's about to transpire pretty quickly. Because it was a great presence at the gym this morning and here this morning, and I just want to live in that place. But then you got to go out there and walk amongst the ground, walk amongst the tares, and then allow the Spirit of God to get you to learn how to love those people. It's not easy. The next parable he went into was the mustard and the seed, about the leavening or just a little seed to become something great. The whole point of this principle here was twofold. One, it's not a camp meeting and a tent revival. Those have their places. But slow and steady wins the race. Little by little, in word, in prayer, you sow those little seeds, you let that little leaven get in there to strengthen your faith. That's what that's all about. Also, when you're trying to reach people, little by little, sowing into their lives. Too many times we want the big, grandiose experience that unless these things are happening in a major way and 10,000 people are getting saved every day, they don't stick. It's the people that you look eye to eye, that you disciple and witness to, are the people that are going to stick. You got to build relations. You got to build relationships with people. We were talking about Casey and I the other night. We were talking about our little group, and so many people talk about this as a family, and it really is, that we can open and talk and share and pray for one another and provide for one another, and it's a close community. It really is. It's not just some abstract thing where we just want to hear some message and then kind of then just take this amongst ourselves. We're trying to grow as a people and as a group. But guess what? Those little things can also be bad. You need to be careful what you're listening to. You need to be careful who you're listening to. Because just as that little leaven can leaven the lump for good and make a good bread, it can also ruin what God has poured into your life. And so you need to listen when the Spirit of God is telling you that this is not good teaching, or this is a false teacher, or that this don't feel right, or whatever the case is, because it will ruin what God has already started to pour in your life. It's like people chucking rocks back into your soil. You got to be careful. The next one, he said, you're going to have wheat and the tares. The context, you know, and Yeshua said this, was it be in the world, and that in the world, you're going to have wheat and tares. So we're so thankful that we don't have those in the church.
Right.
There are no tares in the church. None whatsoever.
Zero.
He said it was of the world. He didn't say it was the church. I altered John 16:33. In this world you will have tares, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The verse says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now, you know where tares grow really good? In good soil. You're going to have tares in your life. You're going to have tares that come through the church. You're going to have people do what tares do, and they suck all the nutrients out of the wheat. They do. They do. But you're supposed to love them anyway. Not cut them down. Not cut them out so you can cut other people in the process. Then he said, the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. This one's very simple. After you went through and found that you were good soil, that you allowed God to till up in you, allow God to get the rocks and get the weeds and get everything out, and then sow some seed, and realizing that there's going to be some stuff in the midst of all of that with the wheat and the tares. Now he's asking the question, as he's closing with this one, is this the pearl of great price? Have we given everything for the kingdom? Are we 150% sold out? It's not the LGBTQ, A, B, C, D, E, F, G people. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Joe Biden. If you want to know what's wrong with America, go look in the mirror. Because if you like your weeds, you like your thorns, and you haven't given everything and sold everything for that pearl, you're the reason. It's the church hasn't been sold out. The church has been so consumed with the world, the things of the world. It's the church. There's one more. It's almost every week now. God's cleaning house. If you ain't looking in your heart, it's going to be put on national television very soon. He is cleaning house. It's almost every single week. Somebody else is being caught up in sin and doing something. Church. Not Donald Trump and not Joe Biden. Church leaders. So I hope you're pruning. I hope you're looking and digging and making sure there isn't anything. I want to give one other different perspective, and then I'll close with something different. I want this for us to think about this from maybe our community, if you will. It kind of fits with what I said as far as I'm going to go through the seed again. The wayside. What do we have? You know, I've jokingly said in the past that when I get up and give a message, that I'm only speaking to about 10% of the people in here. Because we got it all figured out. We do. I can just ask any one of you and you'll give me the answer on whatever this parable or anything else. We're a house where we study. doesn't mean you're wrong, or it doesn't mean I'm right, or vice versa. But are we truly open, or have we created our own ruts, even in this community? I promise you we have. That's why I told you several months ago that I really wasn't reaching out to much of the other Messianic community anymore, because they've got it all figured out. They've got their degrees from Google University. They're PhDs from Rabbi Google. I always say, why, when I taught through the prophetic stuff, why did I say some people think I wasn't willing to take a position? We've said it several times. The only thing that matters, do you believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? There is no other God besides Him. There is no other way to get to Him except through the cross, through Yeshua and what He did, and that He is Emmanuel, God with us, and that you must live a moral and ethical life. Everything else is up for debate. I am constantly learning and seeing things different. I will not allow myself to become a wayside. And we can't do that. The place I want to take us on stony places that have no root. What's your root and what's your foundation for how you pray, how you study, and how you see the scriptures? I was talking with Jeffrey a little bit ago, and we were talking about someone who has a replacement theology mindset, and they can't see that it's a replacement theology mindset. They don't understand it because they have certain foundations that were poured into their life, or they found it on a YouTube channel, and it's completely changed their root system now. When I come back, we're going to be on vacation for a couple weeks. We got Pastor Chris and Pastor Scott, I believe, coming the next 2 weeks. I was asked by a few people to do a teaching on the basically like the reliability and trustworthiness of the scriptures, like how did it all come into being, and then how to actually like study and understand fancy words like hermeneutics and all of that, and how to actually read some of these things to put a foundation together. Because you got to make sure you got a good foundation so that when you start reading things and then maybe you come across difficult things, things you're not sure about, that you got something that you can go to. Or if you're being tested, that your foundation and your roots are deep and solid, that you won't be thrown around by every wind of doctrine, as the Bible says. You got to have some solid roots. And the thorns, I've already kind of joked about it. That's not the cares and riches of the world. It's all the internet theologians. Everybody is trying to expose deception after deception after deception, not realizing they're being deceived. It's just relentless. I'll say it this way. We have more people in the house of God afraid of the Illuminati, Joe Biden, the Democratic Party, then realizing how powerful their God is and not reading who wins this book, who wins this game. Instead of going, this is happening, boo, this is happening, boo, did you know this? Boo, they put this in the food, boo, did you know they're going to do this to you? Boo. Why do you want to live that way? And then you get somebody, we joked about it Wednesday night in the study, that we were talking how when George and Batrivka was here, he was sharing how, because we had the fire pans in this week's Torah portion. And I said, I think that word, the word for that is one of the spices is Canis. And there's all these people who were pro-cannabis now are saying, well, cannabis is the root for that, so now we can do all of this. And it was like, no, one's a Hebrew word and one's an English word. And I mock it because that's how some people study the Bible. They'll take an English word or an English concept and tie it together with something Hebraic and then somehow come up with something. And these guys are littering the internet with this stuff. And this is nothing more but more deception. You got to have solid roots. And I hope you understand that's why we structure and we do what we do here. We want to make a way for the Spirit of God because we believe in the gifts and the power and the presence of the Lord. But we also study every week. We hash things out around the table. And then we read the Bible on an annual cycle so that you guys are reading the Bible. Your job is not to take my word. Your job is to take and go, I'm going to look and see if what this man is saying is true. I have never, ever, ever trusted any man. Never. Not one time. Anything that I ever heard, even if I say, ooh, that's good. You kind of stretch that word a little bit there, preacher. That's not exactly what that means. I just don't trust them. Not because I think they're evil. I'm just, that's kind of how I am. I want truth. I want facts. That's how I'm wired. And go to Psalm 78. Huh?
He said, be a drip to us. Yeah, it rains.
It's the glory. Where is it at? I think it's 78 and... Yeah. Verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Listen to this for a second. I'm thinking about this. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter dark sayings or hidden things, it says, which we have heard and known as our fathers have told us. Doesn't that seem like a dichotomy? He's like, I'm going to utter the hidden things, but yet our fathers have told us. Why were they hidden? Because we closed our ears to them. Sabbath is one of those things that was a dark, hidden thing from the church. But it was told by our fathers from the beginning. And the reason I bring this little scripture out is because we have all of these people that want to chase all of the quote-unquote hidden things. We don't do the basic things. We don't love. We don't care for our brother or sister. Do you know that when Judgment Day comes, you know that's all you're going to be asked about? Think about that. How did you love and how did you care for people? He doesn't care that you know the seven different levels of the Hebrew context, both perfect and imperfect tense. He doesn't care. Unless it takes you to a place where you understand and you go, I'm wretched and I need him. Or I see somebody whose soil is all messed up and I need to go and love on them. We have to put ourselves in a place to produce. The good ground is a good heart with open eyes, open ears, allowing the Spirit of God to guide you with a people group that you love and whose counsel you trust, but use sound biblical doctrine. This is why we talk about community stuff. You must have the fivefold ministry plus all of the giftings. It's not a one-man show. You could never do this on your own. You can't. The entire thing was meant to be a community. That we have one another and we rub each other. Today I give the first announcement. So Kim was saying, was her friends or her sister or somebody said, Kim's not for everyone. And I said, I'm taking that. She goes, you got to give me credit for the first one. Second one, you can just say I heard it from a person. The third time, you can have it. I'm not for everybody. It was funny, we were talking, Casey and I, the other night about, and I said, you know, I said, it's difficult at times when you pour into people's lives and you really, and then you just do one thing, either true or not true, perceived factually or not factually, and how fast they're willing to cut you off. And I said, you know, and she goes, you know, my overly positive all the time wife, she goes, you know, we've been doing this for a while, right? I was like, yeah. She goes, that number is only about 6 people that don't like us. I said, yeah, you're right. And she goes, you know, that's pretty good, right? I said, yeah, but by the way, it's me. Everybody loves you, so you can try and say it's us, but it's me. Appreciate your sweetness here. I want to close with this, first closing and only closing. Right. This is what was chewing on me as I was rereading this. One of the things that we do not do well in this congregation, and I don't personally do not do well, is evangelize. All the people I work with know who I am, and there's been times they've, you know, asked for prayer, had questions, and that's being a witness. And you could call it a form of evangelism, but most of them would call themselves believers. And I would say to them, maybe just because of this thing, you shouldn't be saying things like that. But are we plowing new ground? I want us to think about this, and I want us to be a focus and to think about how we could go about doing this. Because one of the many critiques that I would have for a lot of the modern messianic community is that we've become a self-licking ice cream cone. We're very good about telling how wonderful we are and how much revelation God has given us and how wrong the church is. But we don't do well at looking at all of those and saying to them, there's so much more. We don't do well at that. And we do that in as an aspect of to those who are already saved, but we just don't do it that well for those that are lost. And I was thinking, there's an aspect of this, you know, we don't believe, right? We don't believe He is the only way. We don't believe that if you die without Him, you're lost and going to hell or not existing, wherever your position is on that. You know why I don't believe it? And that we don't believe it? Because every waking thought would be to make sure that somebody else hears the story. What we do is we get so focused on trying to dig down, we want to know the molecular structure of the dirt and think we got God all figured out. But God's going, I just want more dirt to sow seed into. Okay? Just go give me some more dirt. I want to sow into more dirt. Go give me some more dirt. That's what He's asking of us. We have to take care of our own dirt. That's what we are, is we're dirt. We have to take care of and make sure that we do make that we're not becoming wayside, that we're not becoming all full of thorns, and that we're not becoming stony. And that's what this is about. But this whole point of this is so that we go find God some more dirt. And I want us, and I don't know how, and I don't have the answer, and I'm not going to tell you that we're going to stand up and we're going to go and do this and we're going to walk the streets. I don't know. I don't have the answer. You know why? My primary call is not an evangelist. But I do love people, even though I don't like some idiots. I do love people. My heart breaks a lot for people. I really do. I get sad when I see broken people. Because I don't know how to say to them, there's a way for you to get out of this. There's a way for you to get delivered and set free. And sometimes when I do share those things, it's difficult to not realize I'm talking to a worn out path or a stony hearted person. Because I don't know, and maybe this is something, you know, that the Lord is just starting to stir and deal with me about. But I'll use the story of Ezekiel in the dry bones, where God's showing him all the bones, and he says, can they live? And he says, oh God, you know. And he begins to tell him to prophesy to the bones. And I think we need to develop a mentality that we need to start speaking, that we need to get more dirt. We need to tell people who are in any one of those paths, that any one of those that is all choked out, worn out, whatever the case is, that you can live and that you can be set free. And God wants to bless you. He wants to deliver you. And He wants to bring you into community. He wants to bring you into fellowship with Him. And I'm just not sure how to do it with all the excitement and love that I feel in my heart for all of that. I want us to change a focus on that. I want us to think about this. And if something that God's been stirring upon your heart, then how do we go about it? Do we need somebody to say, this is how you witness in the workplace, this is how you do it? Because again, it's not my thing. My primary calling is teacher, prophet. It's my primary calling. But yet I want to see people. I don't want to just get people into the Hebrew Roots community just to get them into Sabbath, only to bring the same bondage and the same baggage with them. I want people to be set free. I want their dirt cleaned. That's a dichotomy. Because you're all dirt. But are you good dirt? That's all I got. The whole point of this message is to make sure that we understand that we need to take care of our own soil. But I want us to begin to shift our mentality. And part of the thing I will tell you it's on my heart to do is to start connecting with some of the other churches. Yes, I know those pagan Babylonian Sunday churches. People who understand, that was sarcasm, by the way. I don't believe that. That was mocking for those who held that view. But for those people that do understand evangelism, that do understand that we need to bring the body together, it's just been stirring on me for a while, and I'm not sure when that's going to break loose, but I want us to develop that. One, keep working what we do here and tilling our own ground and keeping it clean, but also start thinking about how can we go, how do we communicate to a bunch of people that are lost and confused, college kids that are believing foolishness, all this stuff. So many people are believing so much ignorant stuff out there nowadays. Yep. I don't know. Heavenly Father, I just bless you and I just thank you for this Shabbat. I just thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. Father, we in some aspects have become into internally focused. We know that we need to disciple. We know that we need to study. We know that we need to pray and that we need to develop until our relationship with you. Help us have the burden for the loss that you have. That once we get our soil in a prepared place, that is not so we can just sit and produce our own fruit and admire the crop that you're doing in our life, but that so that we could go out and find new land. Put that desire in our heart, Father God, and if we truly, really believe that Yeshua is the only path to you, that they will be eternally lost and separated, then light us on fire with that understanding. And don't just say, well, we believe he's the only way, but to live that we're trying to pull people out of a burning building. Kindle that fire in us, Lord, for evangelism, for seeking the lost. Father, this generation is ripe. They haven't been raised in the scriptures, in church. Show us the avenue in which we can introduce them to your son. And that what we do here wouldn't be so strange to him. But just give us a heart for people, Lord. A heart for praying for the lost, communicating to the lost, and still doing what we're doing here. Taking care of one another, taking care of our soil, and being prepared for whatever it is that you want to sow into our lives. Whatever areas that you want to plant with new revelation or remove old stubborn ways. Help us to always have our ears open and our eyes open and our heart open to be ready to receive anything new and different that you want to do in our lives. Any revelation that we've been blind to. We just want to be hungry for you and your word. And we thank you for this day in Yeshua's name. Amen.
When in the Central Arkansas area, we would like to invite you to join us in person. Shabbat service begins at 1 p.m. each Saturday, with Oneg at 3 p.m. and Torah study at 4 p.m. All service times are Central Standard Time. Thanks for watching.